I'll tell you what. I used to be addicted to all sorts of things. Drugs, alcohol, gambling. I'm not saying that I just dabbled around it. I'm telling you I had a problem. And depression just reigned supreme in my life to the point that almost took my life several times. One time got real close to pulling the trigger, except I had a vision. The Lord gave me a vision of eternity. And I was so afraid to pull the trigger because I didn't know where I would end up. And so I didn't, the suicidal thoughts didn't go away, but for the next 5 years, it was even more torment because I wanted to do it, but I knew that I couldn't because I was so afraid that once I did, it was final. So for the next 5 years, I turned to all those vices, and my life just got worse and worse and worse until I met Jesus. Ooh. Man, oh man, the Word of God came into my life and changed me, saved me. We've seen it happen with so many people. And you know, the cool thing about Jesus is, you know, so many people, I'm not condoning this, but I'm thinking of the old Bon Jovi song, "You Give Love a Bad Name." Christians give church a bad name. You give church a bad name. You know that. And a lot of people don't want anything to do with him. And I've ministered to people that say, "I don't want anything to do with him." And the only reason people say that is because they just don't know him. They don't know the real Jesus. Maybe they've heard who God is or who Jesus is in the media or news or maybe through entertainment, music or movies. Or maybe a Christian has completely wronged them. You know, sometimes Christians can be the meanest. Sometimes Christians can be the rudest. Sometimes Christians can be the cheapest. And that gives God a bad name. It does. And the Bible says, Jesus said, and the way Jesus said is that we all men should know we are his by love. He said that we ought to be so loving that that's how people recognize. But how many of you know a lot of Christians aren't that way? And so then people that are not saved or not born again and accepted Jesus, they say, "I don't want anything to do with that." And I was one of those people. I said, "Man, they're just a bunch of judgmental hypocrites. I don't want anything to do with the Lord." But that was only because I didn't know about him. When you find out who he is, all he is, and I don't mean this demeaning, he is the one that wants to change every area of your life. He wants to make it the best it's ever been. He wants to heal your body. He wants to save you and give you eternal life first and foremost. He wants to heal your body. He wants to change your finances. He wants to change your emotions. He wants to change your mind. He wants to give you favor. He wants to give you protection. He wants to give you heaven on earth. He's only love. He's not up in heaven with that baseball bat like I thought he was. No, we learned a couple weeks ago, he sits on a throne of grace, of mercy, of love, of kindness. He endeavors to be big in your life. He wants to transform your life. And so I've been a recipient of that, been able to help people become a recipient of that. And that's why I'm in love with him. He's the best. I mean, he cares so much about me. Praise God. And so we love Jesus here today. That's why when I sing that, that's not fake up there. That's not me just putting on a show. You know, sometimes I think, do you really love Jesus? I see people just, "Oh, how I love Jesus." No, I mean, really, is that? No, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Love you so much." Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when you tell a person, "I love you." "Oh, I love you." "Oh, that really sticks." That really sticks, you know. We treat Jesus like that all the time. "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how..." Do you love him? Why do we treat him less than we would treat a person? Praise God. Well, I love him. He's done something for me. Amen? Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to... let's see here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 is where we're going to start. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, this is where we get our help. This is where we get our answers. What is the Bible? The Bible is just God's Word. People all the time say, "Well, I don't know who God is. I can't figure him out." He left you a book, a manual on who he is. The Bible tells you exactly who he is. People say he's a mystery. No, he's not. God's not playing hide and seek. God's playing show and tell. He left you a whole manual that tells you exactly what his characteristics are, exactly what he feels about certain things, exactly who he is, his nature. And see, that's why I don't understand people that look at him as anything but love, because the Word tells us he gave us everything to bring us unto him. He sacrificed everything. And so the Word is just God's will. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray as we get into the Word this morning. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to share your precious Word. Now, Lord, there's people here going through different things and facing different things in life. And, Lord, I know that you know what they need to hear. Father, I don't know what they need to hear, but you do. So I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. And, Father, I thank you I'll say things that will transform their lives. And Father, take them to a new place of glory, a better place in this life. Father, you're always endeavoring to help us. So thank you for help this morning. Lord, I thank you bullseyes and people's hearts will be hit. What I mean by that is, well, I'll say something that'll be so pertinent and strike such a chord in their own heart. It might be through correction. It might be through encouragement. It might be an answer. It might be a revelation that they've needed. But, Father, at some point, the whole word's going to be good because the whole word is good. But, Father, at some point in this message, something's going to click with them. They're going to say, my goodness, how did he know that I needed to hear that? And, Father, we know I didn't know it, but you did. So we thank you, Father, for speaking through me this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, you know, I had someone last night that had visited the church, and after the message, I'm telling you this so you understand where I'm coming from before I get to the message. And she's just raving about it. Oh, you're preaching, Pastor. Oh, and you know, that's better than hearing you're an idiot and you're a moron and I hate you. I mean, I'll be honest, it's better to hear that. But she's just raving about the preaching. And I just had to tell her, and this is not me being Mr. Humble Pants. This is the truth. I said, listen, if it's good and it's coming out of me, it's just because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Like I just hide behind the Bible and it makes me look good. It does, because God will say things through me and you'll be like, wow, I needed that. That really helped me. That was awesome, Pastor. You're so awesome. But I just obeyed and said what he said to say. So he's the awesome one today. Amen. He's the awesome one. Praise God. But I want to give you some facts here about some things before we get into the Word. These are facts. That means they're true. Not me just making it up and pulling things out of thin air just to say stuff to be sensational, dramatic, but I want to give you some facts. The issue that I've had to deal with as a pastor, more than anything, it's not even a close second. There is a second, but it's not even a close second. The issue that I've had to deal with where people struggle more than anything at all, and the issue that I've talked to with many other pastors that have churches that have been in pastoring for years, they tell me the same exact thing across the board. Now, it doesn't surprise me with what I'm going to share about what the Word says about this subject and how much it says about it. But the number one issue that I deal with couples, with single people, sitting across from me in the desk, by far, number one, all stands alone, is financial problems. There's not even a close second. There's a second, but it's not close. And when I talk to other pastors, they say the same exact thing. The number one thing that they deal with in trying to help their people and minister and counsel people is financial problems. Now, that's not the only issue that people go through, but it's certainly number one in what I've seen and what they've shown me. When it comes to marriage struggles, when I've dealt with people in marriages, it's not always money, but it's mostly money that causes the problems and causes the issues. Money causes people to be stressed out. Money problems cause people to be depressed. Money problems cause people to be worried, cause people to be anxious. Amen? People struggle in these areas a lot. And the thing about it is that the Word of God, this might come as a surprise to you, but in the Bible, there's over 2,300, not 230, not 23, 2,300 verses pertaining to money and material things. That's a ton. God littered His Word with financial help because in His foreknowledge, He would know that the number one thing that Pastor Mike and Pastor so-and-so would deal with when dealing with people is financial problems, so he wanted to make sure, here's your answers. Amen? The Word has your answers to not struggle financially anymore, to not be stressed out financially anymore, to be free financially. He's littered the Bible with verses on it. Amen? And when I was praying and seeking the Lord about what to share today, he said this to me, that the body of Christ as a whole, not just this church, but the body of Christ as a whole, thinks wrong when it comes to money. They don't think like God thinks concerning money. What's thinking wrong? Thinking wrong is thinking your own thoughts. Thinking right is thinking God thoughts. And he said to me, the body of Christ thinks wrong about money. And because the body of Christ thinks wrong about money, it causes people to struggle financially. Listen, if you're struggling financially, I'm just here to break the news to you. Let me stand up here to make myself taller. Pastor Scott was out there last night in Allegheny helping me. And you know, he's like 6'6". We call him the giant. You have to give him a hard time. The giant bought a Mini. His favorite car is a Mini Cooper, and he just bought a Mini Cooper. Now, the giant has a Mini, and the Mini has a big truck, so we're a little bit backwards here. But he was testing out the second mic in Allegheny microphone, and he was singing, and Brandy was working our sound. She said, man, you guys sound good together. You ought to sing. Jake was saying, you ought to sing. And I said, if he's going to sing with me, he's not standing up on this platform. I'll be up here, and he'll be down there. That's not going to be fair. We're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito here. Remember that movie? Hallelujah. Yeah. Why did I say all that? Amen. The Bible has over 2,000 verses on money and material. Oh, I know why. I was standing up here to make my point. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're struggling financially and stressed out, it's never fun. It never brings about good things and good feelings. God didn't give you Jesus, save you from eternal hell, and then say, I'm okay with you being stressed out and having your marriages break down and having depression come in and anxiety over your finances. I'm okay with that. No, he's not. He didn't give you Jesus so you could be broke. He didn't give you Jesus so you could squabble with your spouse about it. He wants you to be free and blessed in these areas. Well, the only way you're going to do that is when you renew your mind, be transformed by renewing your mind to what he says concerning money. You want your money problems to end? You better start renewing your mind to the word. The only reason you're struggling financially is you're doing it your own way and you're not as smart as God. Sorry to break that to you. You're not as smart as him. Hallelujah. It has so many verses in it. Now think about it this way. If it's true that I deal with people that trip up over finances, over money. Other pastors say number one thing people are tripping up in life is over financial things. Well, if there's over 2,300 verses on money and material things, what does the Bible say about the Word? The Bible says the Word is a lamp unto thy feet, a light unto my path. Well, you take a lamp away, you take the light away on your path, and it's going to be a dark path. And guess what happens when you're on a dark path? You don't see the holes, and you don't see the sticks out in front of you, and you don't see the mud puddle, and you trip up. Well, what does the Word do? The Word brings light to your path, so you don't have to stumble and trip up in that area anymore. So if you're stumbling and tripping up in money, the Word is meant to bring light to that to keep you from stopping tripping up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus talked about money. Now, I have to prove this out. Other ministers have said this. I know it's a ton, but I won't necessarily make this definitive statement. But it's been said that Jesus has talked about money and material things more than he talked about heaven and hell. And as I'm reading through it, I think, wow, they might be onto something here. He talked about money and material things all the time. Why? So people wouldn't stumble and trip up on it. Amen. We need to think right concerning money, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We need to think right when it comes to money, because this is not a topic we can just sweep under the rug. People are struggling in this area. It's causing marriages to break down. It's causing people to be depressed and anxious and live a life of worry and a life of stress and be miserable. We can't just sweep it under the rug. And besides, God needs you to prosper. He doesn't only just want you to be blessed, which he does. He needs. That's why I said needs. See, people say, well, God doesn't need my money. Well, you're right. God sitting up on the throne in heaven doesn't need your money. But God's plan on the earth needs your money. Missionaries don't go around the world free. Churches don't get to stay open because everything's free. They charge us for those lights. They charge us for the electricity to run the air conditioning. They charge us for the propane to run the heat. We're charged to pay off this building and the contractors and all that stuff. Amen. Amen. writing books and sending missionaries and people around the world. That takes money. Well, the sinner's not funding the kingdom of God. God's people are. And if God's people aren't prospering, they're not going to be funding the kingdom of God. God wants you prospering. But you got to think right about money. If you don't think right, because remember what the word said in Romans 12, 2. Be transformed. How do you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You will never prosper until you start thinking right about money. And remember what I said in the announcements or whenever I said it, the offering. You know, I said a lot today. I forget when I said it already. When you start doing things God's way and renew your mind to what He says financially and start walking that out, you've now just added a little dose of supernatural to your life that you're missing out on by doing things your own way. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Praise God. So I want to help you this morning. I want to help you to think right about money. So I want to show you some biblical facts on what the Bible says about money. What God says, what God's view on money is. Are you ready? Amen. First and foremost, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Now, if you're a note taker, number one would be this. Biblical facts about money. You're going to like this one. We're going to start out, make you happy. You know, when you have a hamburger, you don't just eat the meat. You throw down the soft bun first. We're going to throw down the soft bun before we give you some meat, right? Number one, biblical fact about money. God is for you having more of it. I know that goes against religion, and that goes against, you know, what the devil wants people to believe. But number one, thinking right about money, God wants you to have more of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Look what it says here. But you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto His fathers, that is unto this day. Why would He give you the power for something that He doesn't want you to have? He wants you wealthy. Now remember, you got to think of this in terms of kingdom-minded. Because if you just say God wants you wealthy, then I get accused of being a health and wealth preacher. And that you're just in the ditch on prosperity and stuff. No, we're not saying that God wants you blessed financially so you can live some lavish, selfish lifestyle. Kingdom-minded. God wants you to prosper for kingdom purposes. But the thing is, when you prosper for kingdom purposes, you're well taken care of too. Amen. It's true. So He says, I'll give you the power, the ability to get wealthy. It's kind of like over there in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. You know, so many people think that sickness is of God. They'll go through something because they're lovers of God. They've been a good person. They love the Lord and they get sickness and they're going through something and the doctors tell them something bad and they'll think to themselves, this must be what God wants because this is what's happening in my life. But we have to renew our mind to the Word. Because Acts 10:38, this is a rabbit trail, by the way, because this is what the Holy Ghost wants to say. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. So it says God did something to Jesus. He anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's what happens when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Power comes. Amen. Your life will change. And so He says power, and it says who went about doing good. So He gets anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and He goes out with that Holy Ghost and power. It wasn't for Him to keep to Himself. He went about doing good. What did He do with that good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil's the sickness giver, not God. And if people say, well, I don't know if God wants me healed. No, we know He wants you healed. He gave Jesus a power to go do it. Amen. Well, same thing here. God says, I'll give you a power, a supernatural ability to get wealthy. I need you wealthy. I want you wealthy, praise God. Psalms 35 and verse 27. Hallelujah. Psalms 35 and verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get too prosperous. Oh, the more prosperous you are, the more pleasure he gets. The more blessed my kids are, the happier dad is. I don't take pleasure when he doesn't have an Abby over in Children's Church. They don't have enough, and they don't have enough food, and they don't have enough clothing, and they can't do something at school because we're not able to provide. Oh, I'm excited that my kids have to be left out because we can't provide. Oh, I'm excited that my kids have to wear clothes that aren't adequate for them. No, I'm excited. I was excited when we told my mother that we were pregnant for the first time. Well, I wasn't pregnant. She was. But we told her, you know what I mean. And the next day, Mom showed up with neutral color 18 outfits. Grandma Joanne's a little crazy in a good way. We benefit from that. 18. Is it true? 24? I guess I'm wrong. It was 24. I thought it was 18. 24 neutral color outfits. Because, I mean, it's like we just found out. We're telling her. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl. There's 2, 3, 4 of them. We don't know. She shows up with 24. I thought, oh, that's excessive. You take those back. My kid only needs one. No, I was like, wow, yay. Prosperity. My kid's prospering. We don't even go all out for our kids at Christmas time. You want to know why? Because the family members load them up with so much stuff. And I don't sit there and say, now we have to teach our kids, of course, and we have a responsibility to not be spoiled and selfish, and we have to, you know, temper that. But I don't sit there and say, oh, I'm just so angry. Look at all the presents that have Caleb's name under it, great-grandma and grandpa's tree. No. God takes pleasure when you prosper. He said, I want to give you the power to get wealth. See, what that does for you is it releases that burden that religion tries to keep on you, that, oh, you know, God just wants to, you just stay humble and poor down here. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. 3 John verse 2. 3 John and verse 2. Praise God. Knowing that he wants me to prosper, that he'll give me the power to do it, gives me the permission to go prosper. Amen. And not feel bad about it. Amen? Now again, we're not prospering to be selfish. And in fact, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, just to be free, no charge, if you business owners and you people that are employed, if you would stop working for a living and start working for a given, oh, you watch the finances start to come. If you'd say, the sole reason I want to prosper, the sole reason, Lord, I want this promotion, the sole reason I want my business to flourish is so I can bring more money to the church, so I can give more money to the kingdom of God, you watch God start to pour it on you. The Bible says he gives more seed to the sower. The more you sow, the more it just keeps coming. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. That's the truth. So many people look at it backwards. I'm working for a living. No, no, no. I'm working for a given. Today when I brought my tithe this morning, I brought my tithe. Could I use that money in other places? Sure. Do I have bills that could use that money? Sure. Is there things, fun things that Pastor Mike wants to do? Sure. But I will not mock God. Amen. And I said to him, Lord, I'm excited. And I was. I'm excited to give this morning. Because I have learned the secret. He can get it through me. And because he can get it through me, he's constantly getting it to me. Amen. Someday you'll wake up and learn this principle. Amen. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things. I wish above all things that you would be solemn and religious and nope, I just wish above all things that you'd prosper. That's the number one thing he says. I wish above all things that you'd prosper. Daddy wants his kids prospering. Amen. Praise God. So number one, fact about money, God wants you to have more of it. Praise God. Now, since we laid down the bun, let's throw some meat in there. If you're a vegetarian, I apologize for this next part. Because this is the meat of the message. This is not the carrots. This is not carrots coming. This is the meat. But number two, are you ready? It's not just dollars and cents with God. God doesn't just look at it as money. No, no, no. The Bible says that money is an indicator of much more deep and important things. I hope you brought your steel-toe boots. Toes are about to get stepped on now. Yeah, but I'm just telling you biblical facts about money. Why? Because if I can get your mind renewed to the Bible's way about thinking about money, you'll have what the Bible says you can have about money, which is what? Prospering. Being. Every year, we can't figure out how we gave so much the last year and still have what we have and be able to do what we do. We can't figure it out. That's because on our calculator, it doesn't have a supernatural button, but his does. And every year, we endeavor just to give more and to give more and to give more and to give more. Why? We've learned a secret. I almost said one time that giving is almost selfish, and we'll get to that at the end, because I've learned the secret of it. It's easy to be a doer of the word when you understand what's coming back to you. Praise God, it's the truth. Number two, it's not just dollars and cents with God. It's an indicator of much more important things. Go to Matthew 6:21. You got to get this stuff down before you're going to prosper his way. Money's not just dollars and cents. There's three things I'm going to show you here under this. So if you're going number two, it's not just dollars and cents, maybe you'd label this A. Money is an indicator of your heart. Now remember, don't take Pastor Mike's. Just because I have a beautiful divot in my tie today. This is an easy one to tie. Oh, I love tying this tie. It's so easy. Doesn't mean you should listen to everything I say. Only if it's in the Bible. Where your treasure is. What's your treasure? Your money, your stuff, your finances. Where your treasure is. It says something's going to be there with it. Where your treasure is, you're also going to find something else there. You're going to find your heart. What's that mean? Where your treasure goes, guess what goes with it? Your heart goes with it. Guess what God's after? Your heart. Yeah. Where your money goes is an indicator of your heart. It happened. Oh my gosh, it happened. The phenomenon happened again. It did. You know what I'm talking about? The holy hush has creeped through the cracks in the doors and has fallen on this place. Oh, we talk about faith and I get shouted down. We talk about healing, I get shouted down. Point number one, yeah, he wants me to prosper. Woo-hoo-hoo! Praise God, Pastor Mike. And now Pastor Mike says, where your money goes, your heart goes. The holy hush. You talk about people's children and you talk about people's money and it gets quiet in the building. That's what happens a lot of time. But this isn't Pastor Mike's advice. This isn't me pulling something out of thin air. This is what the Word says. And he says, Jesus said it. This is in red letters in my Bible. Where your money is, your heart's with it. And he wants your heart. I always use this analogy. It's stupid, and you know I've used it a lot. But there's an old song, and people, it'd be funny because when I used to be at the Jamestown Church, I used to be the. This is so stupid to say it this way. The accountant, and I use that term really, really lightly, but I was the one that would take after the ushers had counted it, and there'd been multiple I's and signatures. It would come to me. I'd be the one that would fill it out for the church and deposit it and all that good stuff. And so I got to see what people would give. That's one reason I don't like looking anymore. Because I would see some things, I'd be like, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't look at the offerings anymore that people give around here. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what people are doing and not doing. I don't ever want to be swayed to treat the ones that give better. And I don't think I would, but I'd never want to be swayed. Because I remember looking at the offering, and you'd see people in the service, and they'd sing songs like this. Lord, I give you my heart. And they'd be arms out wide, tears flowing down. I give you my heart. Well, if that's true, guess what's going with it? Your money. And I would see, ain't no money going with their heart towards the kingdom and obeying God. Lord, I give you my heart. And then it goes, I give you my soul. The song should sing, Lord, I give you my heart. But with my money, I won't part. You ain't giving him your heart then. Jesus said, if you have a problem with what the Bible says to do with your money, you don't have a money problem. You have a heart issue. Ouch! Biblical facts about money. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Throw the tomatoes at him. Oh, Bible says David had a heart like God. And we read that, we think, I want God to say that about me. I want God to testify that so-and-so, that Pastor Mike Anderson had a heart like me. Well, you look at David, David was so liberal and generous with his money. And he didn't brag about it. He brought all this money and people said, wow, that's a lot. And David said, I came into this world with nothing. Anything that I have was a blessing from him anyways. He had the right perspective on it. Amen. He didn't have the death grip on it. Like people do. They get it. No, it's a matter of heart. You don't do what the Bible says about money and you have a problem with what the Bible says about money. That's a heart issue, not a money problem. I'm just telling you, trying to tell you what the Savior says. So many people have money between them and God. Yeah. You know, I've found that the people that are the most faithful, that do the most, that get the most miracles, that have the most things happen to them, that don't just come to church and nothing happens in their life, but the people that have things happen to them are the ones that don't have money between them and God. I'm just telling you the truth. No issue with money between me and God. The Lord knows my bags are packed. What do I mean by that? He tells me to get up and leave, go out to California and start a church. I always tell him my bags are packed. Lord, you want me to sell my truck and give all the money away? You want me to sell all my hunting stuff and do that? Why? Because I've done this stuff before when he's told me to do it. Why? Nothing's going to stand between me and my God. Certainly not money. He died for me and saved me. Praise God. It's a heart issue. Number two, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Hoo-wee. Pastor Mike. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Now, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is talking about an offering, a financial offering that this church was taking up for the ministry. And he says, I speak not by commandment. Because he was telling them, in verse 7, he told them, you've abounded in different things. You've abounded in grace. You've abounded in faith. But he says, now I want you to, abound in the gift of, or the grace of giving. And he says, I don't speak by commandment to abound in this, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, he says, and to prove. He says, what you're going to do by your giving will prove the sincerity of your love. You can tell how sincere and how much people love the Lord by their giving. That's what Paul said. He said, I want to prove how sincere you are. I want to prove how much your love really is by how generous you are. Why? Because it's a sign of your heart. Come on. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. Don't talk to me about my money. Tithing. I wish Pastor would shut up about that. You know how many people I've chased out of this church over the financial message more than anything else? We would have to have two Sunday services and maybe a bigger building by now. I'm telling you about the people that have that the people that were here for at least 2 years. It was last time I counted was up in the 50s of that were just here for 2 years. That's not counting the people that are here for only 1 year, only for 6 months, and I can't listen to this money message anymore. Bunch of heart issues running around in the body of Christ. I'm not telling people anything that's not in this Bible, in this book, and what Jesus has said. I'm just a reporter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to prove how sincere you are? It'll show up in your wallet. It'll show up in your checkbook. It's just the truth. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. You know how I can prove this? Then you're going to make it seem like I'm Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It's going to sound like I'm materialistic. But let's just cut to the chase and be honest around here. If somebody gives you a card and says, I appreciate you, and that card, I'm thankful for you, and you open it up and it says that, that's nice. And that's nice of them to do that. And somebody gives you the same card, I appreciate you, I love you, and they slap a $100 bill in there, don't tell me. Don't tell me that one didn't mean more than the other. And you say, that's greedy. That's what Jesus said. Remember when Jesus was talking about the guy that forgave the debts? I don't have the exact reference pulled up, but he said, I forgave this amount of debt. Let's say I forgave $1,000, but I forgave $50,000. He said, which one do you think he's going to love more? Which one's going to be a bigger lover? The one that was forgiven the $50,000 or the one that was forgiven the $1,000? And the guy answered, the one that was given the $50,000. Jesus said, right answer. Yeah. Don't tell me. That, because why? Money is a sign of your heart. When somebody does something sacrificial and blesses you, and it was financial sacrifice for them, you know that meant something. That's not being greedy. That's not being materialistic. That's Bible. It proves sincerity. Amen. Come on, ladies. Oh, he made me a little ring out of yarn. Oh, how sweet he took the time to do that. Or he shows up with a big fat diamond. Don't tell me! The diamond didn't mean more. It's the truth. It proves sincerity. And that's what the Bible says. Woo-hoo. Amen. Oh, I love you so much, Lord. I'm not going to tithe. Yeah, you got a love problem. Sincerity problem. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. A lot of utterance here. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with. So now it's going to tell you a way you can honor Him. Most Christians, I would guess, would say, I want to honor God if you believe in Him. I want to be honorable towards God. Well, He's going to tell you how to do it. Honor God with your substance, that's what you have, your stuff, and the first fruits of all your increase. What's he saying? It's a heart issue, it's a love and a sincerity issue, but now he takes it into the honor factor. Oh, I honor God, I honor God. Don't talk to me about my money. You don't honor God. Why? One way we honor him is financially. With our substance and the first fruits of our increase, we honor him with that. Now again, the religious would say, yeah, but God doesn't need my money, it's ridiculous. Yeah, God up there does not need your money, but God down here needs your money. The church needs your money. The plan of God needs your money. Ministers need your money. The missionaries need your money. The work of God needs your money. Amen. And it's an honor issue. So if you have a problem with what the Bible says about money and what to do with your money, the Bible says you have a heart issue, a sincerity issue, and a love issue, and an honor issue. Now, most people will just let that go in one ear and out the other. But I'll tell you what, when you stand before Jesus, you're going to wish you had listened. I know we just go through life and all you can see is your bills and all you can see is what you have and don't have. You got to be able to see past that stuff, because if you'll be a doer of the word and renew your mind, you'll get to walk into different things. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hooey. Yeah. Let's see here. We're going to close there. I'm going to pick this up next week. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to close there. That's enough to chew on for a whole week. Now, you know what's going to probably happen? The church's probably going to be empty next week. People say, I don't want to hear any more of this. It's your answer. Because I didn't even get into the second bun. See, I don't eat a hamburger with just one roll. I threw down the first roll, and it told you that God wanted you prosperous. You liked that. Then I threw in a little bit of meat there, a lot of meat there, about what the Bible says about money. And you might think, I ain't coming back. What if it's a double-decker? What if it's one of those Baconators with three patties? Well, even if it is, guess what? There's still a roll that's going to come under it. And you don't want to miss the other roll. I'm telling you. I did this on purpose by the Holy Ghost. Because the last point I'm going to throw in there next week, oh, you don't want to miss that. I'm just telling you the truth. Think, I don't want to hear this money business. No, you need to hear it. It'll save your life financially. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful, Father. We want to be doers. Father, we want to be sincere in our love. We don't want to have a heart issue. We don't want to have money problems. We don't want to have honor issues, sincerity issues. Father, help us to see this. Lord, I pray that this would sink into every single person here this morning, that people would be doers of this, Father, and they would get things right. They would get things right with you, Father. That they would take a good long look in the spiritual mirror and say, you know what? I've had a heart problem. You know what? Pastor Mike's been showing me in the Word that God's asked for my tithe for years, and I haven't done it. I have a heart problem. I have an honor problem. Yeah. See, when people find out what their problem is, they can start working on it. It's good that the doctor points out our problems, because then we know what to fix. We know what to work on. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray that people wouldn't run from this, but run towards this. Father, if they would just get a revelation of your love, they would know that no matter what, when it comes to finances, even if it talks about giving and tithing, It's never to make us have less. Because you already said you give us power to be wealthy. You already said you take pleasure when we prosper. You already said that above all things, you want us to prosper. So you couldn't ever tell us something, even though our mind tells us and our bills tell us and our flesh tells us, you could never tell us something that would lead to anything but prosperity. Oh, Father, the devil's been such a liar to people. I pray that people will get this revelation. You can't tell us to give us power to prosper, that you want us to prosper, that above all things you want us to prosper, that it brings you pleasure, and then tell us to do something that makes us not prosper. That would, you would be crazy, and you're not crazy. Father, I pray that people get this, and they come back next week hungry and ready to receive more and more and more, and walk into more and more and more, because you need us to have more and more and more. We're so grateful and so thankful. Just thank Him this morning. You might not know it, but this is your help financially to get some heart issues straight, get some honor issues straight. We thank you for it, Father. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. One of the coolest things about God is that every area of your life He cares about. And again, heads bowed, eyes closed. I do that not to be bossy, but it's just so people feel comfortable, you know. One of the coolest things about God is finding out that He does care about every single thing. For so long, I didn't want anything to do with Him. I was just afraid of Him, or when I even did accept Him, because I learned that heaven was a free gift. To learn that He cared about my money and cared about my body and cared about my mind and cared about my emotions and wanted to protect me and wanted to give me favor. It was amazing. But even with all those good things, I'm here to tell you, God's greatest display and demonstration of love and the best thing that He's ever offered mankind was eternity. And the cool thing about it is, God makes eternity, the acquisition of eternity, eternal life, heaven, He makes it simple. Now, the places I grew up and the places Courtney grew up and some places you grew up, they made eternity hard. They made it seem like you had to be a certain type of person, or you had to jump through a bunch of religious hoops to get God to accept you, or you had to become a member of the church, or you had to do this or do that. That's what the world says, but the God of the Bible, that's not how He brings people unto Him. In fact, if you remember when Jesus died on the cross, there were criminals on His right and a criminal on His left. And the one criminal made fun of Him and mocked Him. And the other criminal, who was dying because he was what the world would say, a bad person. You know, he didn't follow the law. He was kind of a nasty individual. He was being punished and put to death. He looked at Jesus and he said to Jesus, "I believe in you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm sorry you didn't go to church enough. I'm sorry you didn't give enough money. I'm sorry your good deeds did not weigh your bad. You can't go to heaven." That's not what He said. Jesus looked at the man and said, "You're in. You believe, you're in." Well, that's what the Bible says, if you believe in Jesus. So I want to give everybody here with heads bowed, eyes closed, not only in this room, but those listening on live stream that I can't see, I want to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus and heaven. Now, it doesn't mean you're joining the church. In fact, you never even have to come back to church, or if you're listening on live stream, you never even have to come to the church. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. That man that died on the cross with Jesus, he didn't get to go to church. He didn't get to become what the world would call a good person. He simply believed. And the Bible says in John 3:16, if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here this morning or listening to me online, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the first thing I want to let you know is I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up. I won't have you come forward. And I won't have you say anything on your own. This is between you and God. But I want to offer you the opportunity that I was given on January 10th, 2002 in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. Or someone told me about God and the plan of God that He had for me, and that it was a free gift, and that He loved me the way I was. Didn't matter what grandma had been telling me. Now, bless her heart, she's in heaven, but she'd been telling me a lot of things. Didn't matter what certain people from the church were telling me. All that mattered was what Jesus said in the Bible. So I don't know where everybody's background is, what you come from, what you've been taught, what you think, but I'm here to tell you that the Lord loves you, and it's a free gift, and it's easy to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Ask yourself this question, everybody that can hear my voice. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. You say, but how can you be sure, Pastor? Because I did exactly what Jesus said to do. You know, if you go to Disney World, you can't bring a Waldemar ticket. You can't bring a Six Flags Great Adventure ticket and try to get into Disney World. No, you got to follow the protocol. You got to go through the right steps. Well, there's steps to get to heaven. You say, but Pastor, I thought you said it was easy. No church and religious back. No, the steps are easy. Number one step to get into heaven. Listen up closely. This is easy. Is you must believe in Jesus. He didn't say you have to know everything about him or understand everything about him. He said you must believe in Jesus. All that means is in your heart of hearts, you might not be able to understand it in your mind, but in the deepest recesses of your heart, you can say, for some reason, I do believe that Jesus was real. And I do believe that he died and rose again. That's believing in Jesus. That's the first step. That's pretty easy. Didn't require anything out of you. The second step to believing in Jesus is to accept him into your heart. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. Why does somebody knock on your door? Because they want you to open that door. Why is he knocking on the door of your heart? He wants you to open it. Why does he want you to open it? He wants to come in. But he's not the SWAT team. He's not an intruder. He doesn't bust the door down. He wants to be invited in. So if you're here this morning or listening online, and you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I think I would. I'm not sure I would. I know I wouldn't. But I want to. And you're making it sound way easier than I've ever known. I'm telling you, it's the Bible. I hate religion. I can't stand religion. As a pastor, I hate religion. Religion kills. Religion turns people away from God. It's about relationship, and he's made it simple. So if heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you want to receive Jesus for the first time, again, you're not joining this church. You're not saying anything other than I believe in Jesus, and I want to receive him and receive eternal life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in this room that wants to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air and put it right down. You don't have to keep it up. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else that wants to receive the Lord? Of course, I don't know everybody's background. I don't know everybody that's listening online. Anybody else who've never received the Lord? Again, it's a free gift. Oh, man, when I heard about how easy it was, I said, oh, I want that. I want that. Lord loves me so much. He loves you so much. If you're listening online or in the future by the archive, I know you can't see me and I can't see if you raised your hand or if you need to raise your hand, but it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. So, for that person that raised their hand in here and anybody else that's in this room that maybe you were too shy to raise your hand, and for anybody that I can't see online, there's only one step to do is believe and receive Jesus. I told you I wouldn't embarrass anybody. I told you I wouldn't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own, and I won't. But there's one thing left to do by raising your hand or saying in your heart, in your seat, I believe in him. That's the first step. The second step is receiving him. I'm going to help you receive. What we're going to do this morning is I'm going to pray a prayer. And the context of that prayer is going to be inviting Jesus into our heart. Now, I'm going to ask the whole church to pray this with me. So you're not going to be the only voice. If there's other people in here that received Jesus and you didn't raise your hand, you're not going to be the only voice. The whole church is. But all I ask is that you repeat this prayer, but mean it with all your heart. And if you're listening online, hop on board with this. And I'm excited for what this means for your life. A new day today. Praise God. God's going to be able to be involved and help you like you've never known before. Everybody in the church and online, including that person that raised their hand, including anybody that didn't raise their hand because they were shy or whatever, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Janae, will you real quick just pull up Romans 10:13? Because my mind, when I do that, my mind says, can it really be that simple? Because the devil wants to make it so hard for you. You know why it makes it hard for people? Because people don't want to have to go through the religious backflips and all the traditions and all the hard things. It's like, I just want to receive the Lord. I just want to come unto him, right? Praise God. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall have a perfect church attendance. For whosoever shall have all their good deeds outweigh their bad. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your belief. Praise God. It's that simple. It's how I received, it's how many received, it's how that person received, anybody else received today. Well, we've been blessed today, haven't we? Amen. We're going to be blessed next week. Don't run from this now. I'll come find you. I will come find you. Let's stand to our feet and worship God before we close the service today. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy. You go get me a book. I thank you so much for your mercy and your goodness. And bring it to me, please. Thank you. Lord, we just worship you this morning. We thank you. Lord, we see in these verses how merciful you are. How kind you are. You make it so simple. You're not all hung up on maybe all things we're doing wrong or the areas we're missing it or struggling. You love us as your children. You just want us so bad to be a part of this family. So thank you, Lord, for that mercy and that goodness. I remember you came to a addicted, depressed, lost young man in myself. And you made it so simple, and you poured out your love through your word and showed me that you didn't care about all the stuff. You didn't care about all you cared about was me. You wanted me. I thank you, Lord, that's how loving you are. We worship you for that love. We thank you so much. We praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed. Oh, there's subs over in the fellowship.